This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Getting the nation talking. Power Talk with Thabiso Kotane.
This week we are focusing on the Gautrain's service attributes. The Gautrain offers a safe, quick and convenient mode of transport that offers value for money for our users. The continuous monitoring, evaluation and implementation of various safety measures are carried out to ensure the service remains efficient. To ensure that traveling on the Gautrain is not only safe but convenient and efficient, various precautionary measures have been put in place to prevent the spread of COVID-19 on the service and ensure customer safety. And that's exactly what we're going to unpack in this next segment, because in the studio, we are joined by Gautrain Management Agency COO Tshepo Kgobe. Good morning to you. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Toby. So how are you doing?
Very well. Thank you so much. You know, as a result of COVID-19, we speak to people on the phone, and to have somebody to interact with is a relief. Thank you for coming through. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you.
So, I mean, what have you done, perhaps, as we break the ice, to ensure that customers on Gautrain are safe, particularly during this period of COVID-19?
So, Toby, so let's start from the beginning. I mean, from lockdown level 5 to 4, we had to reopen the system. And when we had to reopen the system, one of the first few things that we had to think through was, what is customer behavior and how is it going to change? And what that meant was that first is you got to figure out what social distancing means on the platform. So what we've done on each platform is you have a sticker on, it says stand here.
Yeah.
In addition to that, there was the issue of queuing to be able to enter the gates.
Yeah.
And when you enter the gates, do you actually put the stickers next to each other? And a lot of it, you had to figure it out on the ground, unless you were like right there to be able to. So when you're saying, okay, let's put the stickers that says stand here, you get to realize that if you put each of the stickers side by side, you end up with the 1.5 meters disappearing. So now these people are actually probably about 750 apart from each other, because that's the width of the gate. So some of these things, you got to think of them technically. And we had to adjust it so that you never have two people standing side by side as they're queuing to get through the gate.
Yeah.
The additional measure that we had to put in was make sure that there's as much sanitizer as possible on each of the stations.
Yeah.
Before the, what do they call it, the ticket vending machines, before somebody enters the station, mm-hmm. post them being in the station, on the platform, in the bathrooms, everywhere. Strangely enough, people say we have posh people traveling on our system, but the first day we let everybody in, half of the sanitizers on the platforms disappeared. It was taken. So, so you learn quite quickly that poshness is relative.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So we then had to find a way of being able to secure those
and
bring on more and more sanitizers. But also, could you find a way in which people don't touch these sanitizers?
Yeah.
Because every touch point on the system is, and then we went onto the buses and the trains and we put up stickers.
Yeah.
Originally at lockdown level 4, we had a sticker that says don't sit here, or a red cross that then cancels out that seat. And we also had to figure out that it's not a sequential thing. It's an alternate seat type thing. So you could never have two people sitting facing each other.
Yeah.
But sure as hell, I think most people don't read signs.
Yeah,
so you found people sitting on top of the sign.
How adaptable are those new precautionary measures as a result of COVID-19? Because you guys are quite strict. I mean, I can't even chew my gum in your train.
Yes, we have to maintain that system at that level. But the adaptability was that you always work with lifetime evolution. You got to think differently about how you develop your measures. So one of the things that we had to do was that could actually be the stand here signs on the platform be able to accommodate more people and more people as they come back onto the system.
Yeah.
And we had to be able to design the platform in such a way that it allows us to be able to not only allow people onto the train, but also allow people who are coming off the train to be able to walk past each other.
Yeah.
So you created these blocks that could actually be able to grow by adding more signs in between the ones that you had put on before.
Yeah.
And so that's logically you thinking about how does this evolve as it goes from one place to another.
Yeah. I've been on a Gautrain once, right? But it was very efficient.
Okay.
But obviously, you know, compared to your conventional, you know, trains, it's a small operation, right? How have you then, because you also need volumes, how have you been managing to ration without losing other customers or other customers falling through the cracks? Because the train on its own is very small. The station on its own is quite small, comparatively speaking. And I suppose generally the volume of people that you carry are quite limited, comparably speaking. To what extent have you managed to retain while you are talking about trying to maintain these restrictions that you've spoken about?
Yes. So that is important, because what we needed to do is make sure that our, the scheduling of trains is actually dynamic too. So when we started off at 30 minutes, every 30 minutes you got a train. Then as the volumes increased, we went down to 15 minutes, which meant we inserted another train in between. And as it continued on, then we brought it down to the current 12 minutes. What that allows us to do is we can easily go back to our, normal schedule, which was the 10 minutes. But you have a dynamic way of scheduling, and all of the other things that you have to do is watch the numbers.
Yeah.
Our numbers come in every day. So like literally after every peak, I can actually be able to go through the data concentrator and check the gates and how many people went through. And once I know how many people went through, I actually know how many people are going to have to come back. And what that does is that, do I need to bring in additional services? Do I need to dynamically be able to think about if I were to insert a train in between, two 12 car trains? Or space them out so that I can get a 10 minutes headway. Then you do exactly that. But it's about you being dynamically clear about your data and the information that you have and what went through your tickets or your gates in the morning.
Yeah.
And then thereafter, from the afternoon, not everybody's going to come back at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you got three types of individuals that travel on the system at any one point in time. You've got what we call the transitory individual. As a person like you, when you were using the system, you're there, you tag in, you're on the train, you're in that 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You go off to wherever you're going, and then you come back whenever you want to come back. And then we've got what we call the gathering individual. Somebody who's going to a meeting.
Yeah.
In Rosebank or in Santin, and when they go there, then they're going to come back just after their meeting.
Yeah.
The commuting individual will come back after work.
Yeah.
And then you've got the staying individual. The staying individual is somebody who's on holiday, is staying overnight and might be in a hotel in Santin and something of the sort. And that individual has a different pattern of travel. So they'll travel with everybody in the morning, either coming from the airport or coming from somewhere else, and then only come back the following day. And those individuals, then what they do is then they mean that the afternoon peak will be completely different. And even the time from which it starts, much earlier, because the gradually as people finish their meetings, then they rush back to be able to get on the train and go back. So you got to be able to understand these patterns of how people travel. Yeah. And that is important for social distancing, because if you think about it, then your dynamic scheduling, what is easier to do when you know how many people I'm going to have at what time.
Yeah.
And that means, should it be a 4-car train? Should it be an 8-car train?
Are you pricey? Are you as pricey as some people say you are, by the way?
Not really. It's conceptually. What most people do is they do not look at the total cost of ownership of a vehicle.
Yeah.
They only look at, refueling the car and maybe might include insurance on a monthly basis. But if you were to collectively look at how much it costs to own a car, how much you pay to order the car on a monthly basis to pay for fuel, and then, the wear and tear on order the car, we don't compare.
Yeah.
But because conceptually what you look at is in terms of what it costs to operate a car, we are still cheaper than than most models to just simply operate a car. I'm not talking about the monthly repayments. It's insurance and what do they call it, and your fuel. Comparatively speaking, we've done a what do they call it a test, and it was always the plan that the price would remain below the cost of what do they call it. of operating a car, not the total cost of ownership. Because when you start looking at the total cost of ownership, then you then get to be able to realize that it's much more costlier to be able to own a car.
Students, I'm told you've got a package for students. Can you tell us more? Is there a product designed specifically for students?
There's a product, you know, we've got a pave line ride with the G, you know, make it sound much more vibey and everything else. So we give an additional 25% to students. They are going to need to go onto a website that, a microsite that we've developed with Varsity Vibe. Varsity Vibe, you know, collects all the information about who's a student and who's not a student. And we then are able to check, once you've registered on the microsite, that you are a registered student at the current moment. And from then on, you register, and once you've registered, then you can then be able to get a specific card. And we've got a branding, one's got a pink and gold radio, one's got a golden ice cream on it.
Yeah.
So we've got a specific card that we've developed for students. It has been a long time coming, and, you know, I had a question in the morning on another interview, is this a short-term or a long-term plan? This is a long-term plan. This is part of us. First and foremost, you know, we spend quite a lot of money on education, and education sits squarely on our social investment program. And this is part of that. But in addition to that is that we got to be able to get South Africans to commute earlier in their life.
Yeah.
You don't wait until they are now working for you to be able to bring them and convince them as a what do they call it, to become a rider of the Gautrain.
Yeah.
So this is part of our long-term plan to be able to engage.
It's quite an efficient system, I must say. You know, it's got a it looks like it's got a specific clientele. What is the average price today between Pretoria and Johannesburg? Just one trip.
I think it's about 68 rand.
Oof, yeah.
I will check for you. Sorry,
It's around about 68 rand, right? Yeah, just for a single trip. So a return trip will plus minus cost you around 120. Right?
Obviously, thinking about it is that there's the two ways of commuting.
Yeah.
So you commute on the go, I need to go somewhere, and I'm doing exactly
that's
that.
That's the price, yeah.
And then you order the color, you get about 20% off if you buy a monthly. And if you buy a weekly also, you can get, you know, further discounts. So the more and more we are guaranteed that you're going to be traveling with us, the more we can make it much more cheaper for you. And then in addition to that, then what we're looking at is with students, we'll also give an additional 25% on top of that.
Yeah. Customer experience. I mean, do you have any future plans in terms of making it more worthwhile? You know, are you introducing anything that you want people out there to know about?
Yes, the long-term plan is for us to be able to make sure that we form part of the lifestyle of what they call the people of Gauteng. Our thoughts is transport should not be a utility, but rather be a lifestyle product. If you ask me most of the time, and I've asked young mothers, why would you not use the Gautrain? And they tell me the school run is in the opposite direction.
Mm.
And by the time I'm done with the school run, it's easier for me to get on the freeway and drive to work. Now, what if logically you could have a kindergarten at the school, at the station?
Yeah.
And beyond that, you could have a private school or a normal school at the station.
Yeah.
And what about a high school or a Batuki university or a college at the station?
Mm.
But while you're at it, could you actually be able to pick up dinner from Woolworths, Checkers, Pick and Pay right at the station?
Mm.
And while you're at it, well, the lady is going for an interview tomorrow. Could she actually be able to find her shoes and the outfit for whatever she wants to do tomorrow? And in that way, we form part of the lifestyle of Vododeka. A lot of our stations have developed, but not with our direction, but rather with the market demanding good transport to be able to get, you know, Rosebank, before the Gautrain station was built there, it was left with 5 years. It was a dead town. And look at it now. It's got probably in excess of another 20 years of development in and around it.
Yeah. So that's what we are hoping to do, to integrate on the basis of your customer needs, putting crutches there, schools, and so on and so forth.
And then what do they call it? Then you could look at, you know, residential blocks that could be built right at the stations. You could look at conference centers that could be built right there and
Do,
there.
Do you have the land for that, though? Because I remember when the Gautrain was conceptualized and built, the whole contentious issue around it was mainly the issue of land, and, you know, you guys had to buy out certain residential areas and so on and so forth.
So in a number of stations we have land. But remember, one of the other things that we have is the parkings.
Mm.
And the parkings themselves is real estate. It's we can build on top of that.
Mm.
We've got the stations themselves, and we can be able to develop, you know, acquire the air rights and then develop beyond that. So it's not about, you know, taking on more land and taking on more. In certain cases, we're going to have to take on land. But it's about us using the land that we have specifically. I mean, if you look at Centurion Station alone, it's vast swaths of, what do they call it, of land that actually is parking at the current moment. All we have to do is deck it up, and then the land is now back in use.
Before I go to the calls, expansion problem, programs, I remember there was talk of taking the Gautrain from Naledi to a park station and so on and so forth.
Yes, we've got the first phase of the Gautrain. So we've got five phases. The first phase goes to Jabulani in Soweto, and we refer to it, you know, affectionately as the Soweto line, going through Sandton, Randburg, Cosmo City, Little Falls, Rodeport, and then down to Jabulani.
With the infrastructure, what it is, it might take you longer, isn't it?
Not really. A lot of it is tunneled down. And a lot of it is viaducts, which enables us first to leave Sandton in a tunnel, and then emerge a little bit just further on, closer to Randburg,
mm-hmm.
and then re-tunnel again to be able to build a Randburg station underground.
And what are the timelines there? It sounds exciting.
Look, at the current moment, we are awaiting our Treasury approval one. From what do they call it? From Treasury in itself. We're a PPP, and we're always governed by Regulation 16 and you know, the processes that go through that. And the feasibility study was submitted about 2 years back, and we are looking. And once they've given us that, then the go ahead is there. We would have loved to be on the ground in the next 2 years, but I am governed by regulations, and we have a track record of governance that I don't want to break.
Let me go to the calls quickly. Fezilen, Midrand, good morning.
Sanbona.
Yeah, well, go for it.
I like the ideas Lenora Analingtona saying or a lifestyle, but the Gautrain is more about convenience, because it's more likely hore keberekise Gautrain more than it takes to go into the airport, because it's all about timing, I guess. Now, we've got a few kids who've got innovative ideas, and it falls in line with what he's talking about. How do these people or anybody who's got an innovative idea, no contact, ticket sales, or whatever the case might be?
I hear you.
Yes. How do you get in contact with your department?
Okay, good. Good stuff. Good question. Before you respond, Miesha Pretoria, good morning, sir.
Hey, morning. And to your guest.
Yes, sir.
I want to make him aware, before we start, I've been on the Shaikan Sen, so that he's got an idea where I'm going. Now, I want to say to him, it takes 20 steps from the door of the Gautrain to the metro in my town in Pretoria in Bosman. And yet, that person, it's a difference between the first and the third world. The person on the metro rail subsidizes the Gautrain. I want to know, why are they not making a profit, number one? Secondly, the Shankai Sen is never late. If it is late, it's by 50 seconds. And if they are late, they give you a certificate. And you've got trains every 3 minutes running. I want to know, why are they even late? Why are they not making a profit?
Okay.
Why should poor people subsidize them?
All right, bro. Got you, Miesha. Got to run two more people before we round off. Lolo in Rockville, good morning, ma.
Morning.
Yes, ma. Good morning. Go for it.
Yes, for how train to Jabulani is too long. Can we have it sooner than that?
Okay, all right. Lurato, Kempton Park, good morning, sir.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
No problem.
I have not had my own car for the past 6 years. So I'm your guest will be happy to know that I'm one of those who uses, you know, the Gautrain has become part of my lifestyle.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
To lament. The first one is that it bothers me that, you know, as a consultant, from time to time when I try to buy, you know, these coupons that you were talking about, to say, you know, when you buy a fixed rate kind of ticket, you then get a discount. But then some days I can't use it because I'm working in a different town, right? Why can't they have concessions for people like me where I can indicate that this month I'm working in Cape Town because of a different project, so instead of losing out on those three? The second one is what we are saying is raising. I'm deeply concerned, Khadiso, that the Gautrain is not making money, but they are not even showing us how they are losing money. There's no transparency in their financial reporting, and I wish that we can get that as a public, considering that we are actually funding this operation.
Okay, thank you so much. So just to round off, Tebogo says a return trip from to Pretoria is 150 on the Gautrain. I paid 75 rand to Pretoria and then 75 rand when I was riding back to Johannesburg Station last year. I'm not complaining, though. It's safe and convenient. I'm happy they have student packages. I'm going to apply for that. But I'm sure you want to respond to the calls.
All right, brilliant. I think let's start with the last one.
Yeah.
So maybe sometimes it's ridiculous. It's my fault for me not making sure that people are knowledgeable about how the Gautrain ticketing system works. So the gentleman actually has 44 days. So if you bought a 30-day ticket or a monthly, then you have 44 days to actually use it. So we've already accounted for them to be able to say, well, I had another day when I... So it doesn't cut off on the 30th.
Yeah.
So you still have...
The 44 days is not informed by...
No. When you bought it, it's a monthly...
44 days.
It's 44 days. And so what he's talking about, so let's say he spends a week or two away from what do they call it? He's working in another town.
Yeah.
Then he is able to recover that because we've already incorporated it into the ticketing system itself. And similarly, the what do they call it? The weekly actually goes on to for 10 or 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you, if you're working in that week, you're working in another town, then you have an additional 3 to 4 days on which you, the trips that you've missed on your daily commute in that week, can actually be what do they call it? Can actually be redeemed,
redeemable, yeah.
On the system itself. But you know, point taken, and we will make sure that we market this as much as possible, and people are knowledgeable about it. Now, coming to the lady that talks about the 2 years, it's a physical impossibility. Certain things take time, and you're going to need to. And tunneling in itself, it's going to be our biggest challenge for us to move quite fast. And until I get the approval from Treasury, there isn't much I can do.
Yeah. And Miesha was also talking about, I think he was talking about just the fact that in Pretoria, the station that he mentioned, that they're just two wells.
Yeah, Bosman.
Yeah.
So in essence, we...
And why are you guys late? Because, you know, 3 minutes apart, 60 seconds or whatever he says should be enough if you're late.
In actual fact, the Gautrain system operates at about 100% availability and punctuality on most days.
Mm.
The monthly average comes down to 99 most months, and we have done 100 on most months.
Yeah.
And what that means is that we had no trains cancelled and we had no trains that were late.
Yeah.
Trains do get late. We do end up with auto decolor, with cable theft at times. We do end up with challenges. I mean, we had one of the substations burned because somebody had burned the grass that was in and around.
The caller from Midrand raises a very important issue. Young people with innovative ideas, how do you accommodate them? Because today we live in a world where if you don't know Mr. Khobe personally, nothing works, type of a thing. But, you know, what's the status quo within Gautrain for people with innovative ideas?
I actually have spent probably the last 3 years engaging a lot of these youngsters. So I spend a lot of time sitting on hackathons and all sorts of other areas where you meet these youngsters, and I judge hackathons. And I have always had my door open to them to be able to come and see me personally. So you make arrangements with our reception and you say, this is what you need. And then they will redirect it to my PA and she will then do what needs to be done. That's when I was the senior executive responsible for technical services. Now at the current moment, as what do they call it, as the COO, I am always willing and available to be able to talk to people. It's a timing issue more than it not being an availability.
Is there a specific tunnel, though, that people should use, an email of some sort?
So with me, it's lana.l@gautrain.co.za.
Lana as in L-A-N-A.
Yeah.
L@gautrain.co.za.
Yeah, then you order the call. You'll come through to my PA and she will order the call. She'll make the relevant arrangements. And be patient with her. There's a lot of things I have to do on a daily basis.
Quickly, before I let you go, this is also very important. And Carpe Diem saying, what are you doing about e-hailing versus cab conflict? And he says, bottom line is passengers are their clients, yet cabs have literally taken over ownership of the parking spaces outside Gautrain, particularly in St. Julian.
Yes, that's an important question, because in essence, we actually have a project we haven't announced. So we are actually setting up a way in which we can incorporate all these different services onto the Gautrain app. So we're talking to everybody on integration as a whole. But in addition to that, what we're doing is these are politics of the stomach. You have to actually resolve the challenge that lies with the taxi cab owner. The taxi cab owner does not have the capital to be able to renew their vehicle. Some of them might even have criminal records and all sorts of other things. So we're extending the model that we've set up in Alexandra initially, where we operate with the minibus or the minibus taxi industry, and they operate some of our services. And we're already talking to Santin, taxi cab owners to be able to set up their own company that will then be incorporated into the Gautrain services, and we call it the Gautrain Express service. And long-term wise, the Gautrain Express service then falls into an area where I don't want to wait for the scheduled services. I want my service when I want it. So I'm going to a meeting and I've just arrived with the Gautrain and I want to go off immediately now. And that's part of that. So it's a natural evolution. But you cannot resolve the problem unless you resolve the empowerment of the taxi cab industry. And that is part of what needs to be resolved. Everybody talks about it blankly, but they don't deal with the issue at its now.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kobe. We're even late for news there, but I'm sure people understand, including Thomas. He's a good guy. What's going on in news?
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.